Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
Well, you know what? If you're new here today, my name is Karen Steven. I'm the executive pastor here, and I want to welcome you to church this morning. Thank you for joining us. Yeah. You know, I don't know if you guys noticed, but we're halfway through the year. Like, we're at the midpoint of 2026. So I'm going to ask you a rhetorical question as your pastor. Where are you in your walk with God today as opposed to January 1st? That's a rhetorical question. That's one we're going to think about a little bit this morning, right? You know, if you're a Christian and you're a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, I hope that one of your New Year's resolutions was to grow this year in your walk with the Lord, right? We're supposed to be growing. We're supposed to be growing. You know, God calls all Christians to grow in our walk. And, you know, sometimes it's obvious the steps we're taking more and closer to Jesus, they're obvious, right? But other times they're not so obvious. There's things going on quietly behind the scenes. But the point is, we're never, ever supposed to settle into stagnation. We're supposed to be moving forward with the Lord. So this is just a little check-in, just a mid-year check-in. And this is part of our job as your pastors, to check in with you, to encourage you, and to help you as you move forward in your walk with Jesus. And I'm going to encourage you to get in the game. If you've been a little stagnant, you still got time. Get in the game, y'all. Do what needs to be done spiritually and let the Lord change you from the inside out, right? You don't have to have it all figured out. It's not about that, because none of us have it all figured out. But we got to be making progress. So we got 6 more months. Let's get in the game, y'all, and let's finish 2026 strong, church. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for us before I get started here. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you are just, you just use flawed people to accomplish your purposes, Lord. And Father, I pray today that you speak through me. Push me out of the way. I surrender my mind, my will, my emotions to you, God. And I ask you to speak through me. Give me everything I need to deliver your word in the way you want it to go forth. And I pray, Lord, that we are all changed from the inside out by the power, the transformation power of your word. And I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Messiah, our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. All right. So, you know, many years ago, long before I met Pastor Bob, you know, I kind of came to a fork in the road of my life, right? Things were not going well. I was a single mom. I had 3 girls, and I was working a very high-pressure, stressful, full-time job, and I was also going to college part-time to try to finish up my college education, and it was a mess. Like, I felt so much pressure on me all the time. Life just felt heavy. Not to mention, my social life was circling the drain, okay? Again, I was single, and my social life was a mess, y'all. I had a trail of broken relationships behind me, and I had just gotten out of a bad relationship around that time. And I remember just feeling angry and broken and confused and just lost, right? And for some reason, I cannot tell you why, it was a Saturday, and my girls actually were with their dad that weekend, and I was out mowing the yard, and it just hit me, I'm going to Lakewood Church. Now, this is when I lived in Houston, and I don't know why that came upon me. I know the Lord knows why, because we were Catholic, so going to that church was really different, but the Lord was calling me, and so I went. I went to Lakewood Church, and as I was sitting there and I was listening to the Word of God, something came over me, y'all. I cannot explain it. It gives me chills now when I think about it. The Word of the Lord was so powerful. It was like an arrow that shot straight to my broken, burning heart. And it was very uncharacteristic of me, but I got up out of my chair and I walked all the way down that aisle and I surrendered everything to Jesus on that day. And you know, I don't know. There's no magic in it. There's just power in it, in the word of the Lord. There's power in the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord drew me into a relationship with Jesus. Yeah, we need to clap for that. That relationship was like no other relationship I have ever experienced in my life. It was just, it's beautiful. And it's the word of the Lord that drew me into that. Here's the thing. God's word is alive and it gives life. I was broken. I was jacked up. But when I heard God's word, it was like this cool breeze on a hot day, y'all. You know how it is, it's hot outside right now. You get into the shade, get a little breeze going. It's refreshing. And his word washed over me. It fed my soul in places I didn't even know I was hungry. It lifted my spirits. It encouraged me. And it drew me into a lifelong relationship with Jesus. God's word is powerful. Never forget that. So you know what? Let's read it together. Open up your Bibles. We're going to go to John chapter 1. We're going to read it together. Y'all let me know when you're there. Okay, I'm assuming y'all there. Y'all so quiet this morning. Look at y'all. All right, this is what it says. John chapter 1, starting in verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." This is a very complicated passage, so I'm just going to keep it really simple. John is telling us that Jesus is God. He's always existed. He's the creator. He's also God's word. And then John goes on to say that Jesus is life and the only source of spiritual light in a dark world. Amen. Let me tell y'all this. The word of God is what led me towards the light of Jesus. And that light changed me forever. You know, the Bible isn't powerful because it's just a bunch of words on paper. No, it's powerful because it reveals a living Savior. Amen. So let me ask you this morning. What are you doing with the Word of God? Come on. Now let's go to the Old Testament. We're going to go to the book of Joshua. It's about six books into the Old Testament. It's right after Deuteronomy. And we're going to read from Joshua chapter 1. So go all the way to the other end of the Bible, six books back after Deuteronomy. We're going to read Joshua 1, and this is what it says. "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." See, when God sent Joshua to take over after Moses died, Moses was the one who was leading the Israelites out of Egypt, right? Well, Moses died, and God appointed Joshua to take over. And the very first thing that God told Joshua was to lean on his word in every single part of his life. In other words, to give God's word priority and allow it to direct his thoughts and his actions. God told Joshua to let his word be the blueprint for his life. God didn't say, "Joshua, whenever you get in a mess, remember what I said." That's not what God did. No, God said, "I want you to meditate on my word, what I've said, and I want you to meditate it all day long. And then do what I've said. And if you do that, then your life will be successful and prosperous." Now, I want you to notice God didn't say his life was going to be perfect. He never said that. That's not the way this works. He said it would be prosperous and successful. Now, when you hear those words, what do you think of? Be honest. Again, another rhetorical question. What do you think of? Do you think of maybe a bigger, better house? Maybe a fatter paycheck? Better retirement? Big family vacations? Prosperous and successful. Is that what you think of when you hear those words? See, the prosperity and success in this passage isn't talking about financial prosperity. It's the ability to faithfully accomplish God's call on your life despite whatever you are dealing with. Joshua still fought battles. He still faced giants. He still had setbacks. But because he lived according to God's word, he succeeded in the purpose God gave him. That's the goal. Biblical success isn't about having everything you want. It's becoming everything God created you to be. I will say that again. Biblical success isn't having everything you want. It's becoming everything God created you to be. Think about that for a minute. You know, we all struggle. So I'm pretty sure everybody in here is struggling with something right now. And, you know, studies show that the main things that people are struggling with right now in this world, A, is the rising cost of living. The rising cost of living is a real thing, right? People are also struggling with work burnout. You know, that whole work-life balance thing, work burnout. And mental health, things like stress, loneliness, feeling overwhelmed. Now, if you think about those problems for a minute, you'll find that they have something in common. They leave us asking the question, well, how do I live? Right. With all of that, how do I live? That's really the issue. See, we need wisdom. We need a blueprint for life. And that's exactly what God gives us in Joshua 1:8. He actually gives us in his whole entire word. God told Joshua, like he's telling us, meditate on my word day and night. Live according to it, not the way you just feel like living. Live according to the word, and then you'll prosper and have success. Amen. See, the word of God is not just information, y'all. It's not a self-help book. It's a blueprint for how to flourish in the world we're living in right now.
That's right. Amen.
And God's word teaches us to rest. That's my first point this morning. God's word teaches us to rest. See, burnout isn't just caused by working too much. It's caused most of the time because you're living outside of God's rhythms. Did you know that God created the Sabbath before he even created the nation of Israel? He did. Genesis 2, 2 and 3 says that on the seventh day, God finished his work and he what? He rested. And not only did he rest, he called that day holy, the Sabbath. He created the Sabbath, a day of rest from work. And we all need that. Who in here does not need a rest from work? Please raise your hand and tell me, because I need to know what your secret is. Yeah. And you know, I understand that sometimes it's really hard to find time to rest. I get that. But here's the deal. This isn't optional, y'all. It's not optional. God commands a Sabbath in all of our lives. And you want to know why? Because he knows we need it. God gives us what we need, y'all. And he knows we need rest. And, you know, it doesn't have to be Sunday. We're not going to get all legalistic about that. I have pastor friends that, oh, no, the Sabbath is this day. Look, that's not what the word says. It's a day of rest. And life is not the same now as it was back then. So it doesn't have to be on a Sunday. I mean, as pastors, Sunday is not our Sabbath. We're working, we're serving, we're ministering. But we intentionally take another day off during the week to rest because God knows we all need rhythms of worship, work, and restoration. So if you're feeling burnt out, when are you taking a Sabbath? Oh, and please don't tell me you don't have time. Don't even think that, okay? Because look, Jesus withdrew regularly to rest and get alone with his Father. And ain't nobody in here got more going on than Jesus. I'm just saying. Burnout isn't just caused by working too much. It's caused by living outside of God's rhythms. And one of his rhythms is taking a weekly Sabbath. You know, Psalm 127 says, in vain you rise early and stay up late. Some of y'all are working all the time and you're missing out on stuff. You're missing out on life. You're missing out on time with your family, your kids. You're grinding and striving. And for what? For what? Mark 8:6 says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the world and loses his own soul? Think about this. The world says your value comes from productivity. Y'all know that. Your value, according to the world, comes from productivity. But the Bible says that your value comes from being a child of God. And let me tell you something. Those are two completely different ways of living. Which one are you living right now? That's another rhetorical question. I got a lot of those today. Balance in your life comes with incorporating rest. And, you know, I know what it's like to work long hours just to make ends meet. I really do understand that. The good news is God's word also has a lot to say about our money. In fact, again, God's word is a blueprint for how to live our lives. And his word teaches us how to handle money wisely. What do you do with your money? Do you spend it? Or do you invest it?
Right. That's good.
You see, there is a difference. The Bible teaches us to look at money as an investment. It's called stewardship. Now think of it like this. When you're getting ready to go to HEB, right? What if you went with the mindset of how much money am I going to invest in my family's health versus how much money am I going to spend up in here?
Come on. Yeah.
Yeah. When you flip the script like that, it might get you to look at what you're buying a little more closely. You know, I think a lot of money problems could be avoided if we looked at money as an investment and we live within our means. You know, I used to hear old people used to say, if you can't afford a couch, you sit on an apple crate until you can. Makes sense to me. Why are you going to go all up in Ashley Furniture and put yourself in debt? You know, the Bible says that the borrower is a slave to the lender. See, when we learn to handle money right, the way God teaches us to, we'll find that we have more than enough to meet our needs and to sow into his kingdom as well. You know, maybe right now you're struggling with the rising cost of living. That's a real thing. I'm not minimizing that. Everything really does cost more nowadays. Oh, and let me tell you what they do. They put it in these little bitty bottles and charge you more and think you're not going to notice. Walmart's the worst. You know, they put great value. That ain't no value. You're just a smaller bottle. I see what you're doing, okay? But, you know, this is all the more reason why we have to live by what God's word says regarding our finances. And God's word gives us these principles to live by. You might want to write them down. I don't know that they're on the screen. Contentment, generosity, avoiding unnecessary debt, planning, and stewardship. And these aren't difficult to live by when we look at our money as an investment, as opposed to something to spend. God's word is a blueprint for our lives. And in 1 Timothy 6:10, the Apostle Paul tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. He doesn't say that money is evil. Let's not get that mixed up here. He said the love of money is the root of evil. And it's hard to live by God's principles when you love money. Think about it. And I'm going to tell you right now, you won't find someone who loves money who's content with what they have. Look around, try it. It's not going to happen. You're not going to find them. And you know why? They're always striving to get more money. For whatever reason it may be, they just have to have more money. And one of the reasons the Apostle Paul warned us about the love of money is because it doesn't allow for a heart of generosity. It's hard to be a generous person when you're so attached to your money. Yeah, seriously. And when you don't have a heart of generosity, that affects every single area of your life. And it's because, let me tell you why. It's because you see God's blessings as belonging to you.
Come on now. Come on. Preach it.
It's that attitude of, you might share it if you can spare it. But the truth is, all throughout the Bible, Genesis 12, Proverbs 11, 2 Corinthians 9, 1 Peter 4, I can go on and on. The word of God is very clear. God blesses us so that we can bless others. We are meant to be like rivers where the blessings flow through, not ponds where the water gets stagnant. And that's with everything that God blesses us with. Our time, our talent, our treasure, we are meant to use those things to bless others. See, when you have a heart of generosity, you don't ask questions like, should I tithe off of my net or my gross pay? Jesus says, decide in your heart what you're going to give and to do it cheerfully. You don't say things like, I can't afford to tithe. Let me tell you right now, you can't afford not to tithe. And this isn't about the church asking for your money. God don't need none of our money. This is not about that. This is about you experiencing all that God has for your life. Open up to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi is right before the New Testament. Malachi chapter 3. Verses 10 and 11. I love these verses. It says that when we bring our tithe into God's house, he not only makes sure that we are blessed, but God will hold back the devil from the other 90% of your stuff. He'll prevent it from being devoured. He talks about devouring. In other words, just wasted. Tithing isn't about what God wants from you. It's about what God has for you. Remember, God's word is the blueprint for our lives. And in his word, God does teach us how to handle money wisely, which in turn will help us cultivate hearts of generosity. You know, when you literally dive into God's word, you will find out that there's a lot about money. The book of Proverbs is full of financial wisdom. Go and check it out later. And let me just challenge you this. Get into the word of God. Look up scriptures that apply to money and blessings and see what God really has to say about it. This is for your good. This ain't for me. This is for your own good. Look it up. See what the Lord said. Check me on this. if you don't, you think, she's just talking about money. No, I'm talking about blessings that come from the Lord and what the purpose of them are. God's word may not lower the cost of living, but it will teach you how to handle your finances wisely and most importantly, learn to live content with what you already have. God wants more for us. He owns a cattle in 1,000 hills. He wants us to be blessed. But he's always watching. What are you doing with what I've given you? You see, contentment truly is a state of mind. And that leads me to my next point. God's word renews our minds. Stress, anxiety, fear, confusion, comparison. The battle against those is always, always, always starting in the mind. Romans 12 says that we are to be changed, transformed by the renewing of our minds. Psalm 1 says, the blessed man meditates on God's law day and night. God told Joshua, right before he was headed into battle, God speaks to us. He knows we're going to face some battles. And he told Joshua that he needed to meditate on the Lord's word day and night. Meditate simply means you ought to focus on something, to focus on it. And God says, meditate on his word. You see, what we continually think about shapes who we become. That's from Proverbs. God's word, blueprint. And whether you realize it or not, you're meditating on something. Everybody in here, me included, we are meditating on something. We are focused on something, whether it's the bills, politics, whatever's going on in the Middle East, social media. Oh, social media captures hearts and minds left and right. And that's when you get stuck in what Pastor Bob was talking about last week, that old comparison trap. Whatever you're meditating on, even the music you're listening to, all of that is shaping who you are. You know, I like all kinds of music. I have a really weird taste in music. I like Tejano. I like cumbias. I like country. I like it all. I like music. I don't too much like symphony music. That's really boring. But to me, not to y'all. But I like music, right? But here's what I've learned. I have to be very careful with how much secular music, music of the world, that I consume. Because I know and I understand and I've learned the hard way that what we listen to shapes who we are. You know, the other day I was listening to my country playlist. I do not know what possessed me to do that. Had to have been the devil. But I was listening to my country playlist and I heard this song. And about halfway through it, I was like, wait, these lyrics are depressing. Why am I listening to this? I had to change it. I said, I can't let that get up in my spirit. I got to preach on Sunday. No, sir, we're not doing that. So I flipped back over to my worship playlist. But friends, you got to remember, the battle always starts in your minds. So be careful what voices you're listening to, even the ones in your head. You know, last night, this isn't in my notes, but I'm going to share this with y'all because it was a battle in my bedroom at 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't know what happened. I woke up and I always listen to either the Bible or worship music when I go to sleep at night, really low. Nobody can hear it, but whatever's trying to get in my room. And so I put it in the atmosphere, right? And I woke up and I was feeling troubled. My mind was racing all over the place and I could not go back to sleep. And then all this worry and fear started creeping up on me. And I was like, oh, no. So I turned worship music up a little bit louder and I prayed and I just called out the name of Jesus. And I'm going to tell you right now, that name has so much power, transformative power, that the atmosphere shifted and I went back to sleep. I mean, the word is powerful, y'all. If you struggle with fear, watch what you're listening to. This is especially important because you know what? You can't let your mind wander when you have fear, when you're dealing with fear, because you'll start creating worst case scenarios real fast. And that's a rabbit trail that's only going to lead you to more fear and anxiety. You know, in Joshua 1:8, God says we are to meditate on His word, His promises. So what are you meditating on right now? Remember, God's word is the blueprint for your life. So when negative thoughts come in and try to get you all worked up, go right to His word and find scriptures that address whatever that negative thought is. You know, last night for me, it was like I bind my mind to the mind of Christ. I loose from my mind any thought patterns that are inspired by the adversary. And I take captive every single thought and bring it into obedience to God's word. That's what I was saying last night out loud. That's what we got to do. We got to learn to speak back to the enemy, to the voices in our head. And we need to control what we can control. And you control that radio dial or whatever you want to call it nowadays. I don't know what y'all call it now, but that's what we called it in the 70s. Anyway, negative thoughts. Get into God's word. Find scriptures that address those thoughts. Here's a good one if you struggle with fear or anxiety. 2 Timothy 1:7. This was the very first scripture I committed to memory as a grown person. It says, God has not given us. Let's personalize it. God has not given me. Say that out loud. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Not a crazy racing mind. Not a tumultuous mind. Not all the No, a sound mind. That is what the word of the Lord says. Put that out in the atmosphere and see how quickly it changes what you're thinking about. I got another one for you. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, nothing, as in no thing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That's key. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. You can't even understand why you're in peace. That will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Those words right there, they're really the antidote for any negative thoughts. Everything you're dealing with, that's it. That's your go-to. But notice, it says be thankful. In other words, content with what you have. Tell God what you need and then trust Him. When you do that, His peace will surround you no matter what's going on in your life. Stress, anxiety, fear, feelings of being overwhelmed, those are real. Mental health issues are real. I am not minimizing that at all. Do not hear that. But let me say something to you right now. We are not what we struggle with. I'm going to say it again. Whatever mental health issue you may be struggling with, you are not what you struggle with. You know, over the past 10 years, I've noticed this trend that is very alarming to me. My background is in psychology and human science, so I'm real interested in the mind and how we think. And actually, the Bible is the key to everything. Like, I think modern-day psychology is right here in these pages, right? But this trend that I've seen developing, and again, it's about over the last 10 years, it's called diagnostic or illness identity. And if you're scrolling on social media, you know, I don't know how it happens, but this phone, it'd be listening to people, okay? I don't understand the technology. I'm not this generation of this. But you could say, like, Pastor Bob and I were talking about Destin, Florida. I want to go to Destin. All of a sudden, these ads started popping up on my phone about, I'm like, what? Be careful what you say. We got to be careful. Because there's a lot of things on social media that is exactly this. You'll say something out loud, and the next thing you know, you're seeing all these posts about whatever you're struggling with in your mind. Diagnostic or illness identity. This happens when someone is constantly reminding themselves, or someone else is constantly reminding them of their diagnosis. Right? And the more the person hears this, they begin to internalize that condition or diagnosis to the point that it becomes a core part of who they think they are. The mind is powerful, and God created it. We need to fill it with good stuff. We need to focus on His word. And see, when they start thinking that's who they are, then that shapes how they interact with the world. You know, someone's brain can work differently than someone else's, but that doesn't change who they are. They're still made in the image of God Almighty, still loved by God, and He still has a plan for their life and a kingdom purpose for them. And if you struggle with a mental health issue, whether it's ADD, OCD, any of the other Ds, depression, anxiety, fear, maybe you're just always under acute stress and you're feeling overwhelmed. Those are real issues. And it's okay to get professional help to deal with that. I'm going to say it again. If you're struggling with a mental health issue, it is absolutely 1,000% okay to get professional help to deal with that. Please don't not, okay? But just be careful with identifying with those things. A diagnosis does not dictate who you are. God does. God says who you are, and it's found in His word. Meditate on God's word and let it renew your mind. And if you'll do that, I promise you, you'll see a huge impact on your mental health. And you want to know why? Because part of the reason is that God's word points us back to Jesus. Stephen, if you'll come. I'm going to say it again. God's word points us back to Jesus. Again, the Bible isn't a collection of good advice. That's not its purpose. It actually introduces us to a person, to Jesus Christ, to our Savior. You know, Joshua was told to meditate on the written word. Today, we have the written word and the living word in Jesus Christ. Every page of Scripture ultimately points us to Him. You know, when we're lonely, Jesus says, I'm with you always, always. When we're overwhelmed, Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rest. When we're unsure or afraid, Jesus tells us, I'm the way. The goal of Scripture, y'all, is not to make us Bible scholars. That's not the goal. Satan's a Bible scholar. Yeah. He knows the word. He threw it at Jesus in the wilderness. That's not the goal of Scripture. The goal of Scripture is to make us more like Jesus. That's the goal. You know, I can honestly, sincerely tell you that all those years ago at Lakewood Church, God's word didn't magically erase everything in my life, all the problems I had. I still have bills. I still make mistakes. And if I haven't already, there's at some point I'll probably offend somebody in here. I'm not perfect. God didn't make me perfect. But I'll tell you this. That person who walked down that aisle to the altar at Lakewood Church, that's not the same woman sitting here in front of you right now. That's not the same person. No. I'm not even the same woman I was 5 years ago. God's word is transformative. It sanctifies us. It brings us closer and closer to Jesus, to who Jesus is. You know, here's the thing. The word of God changed me. It wasn't some behavior modification. No, it was a transformation only possible through the word of God, through the living word of Jesus Christ in my life. You know, for decades now, every single time I open this book, God speaks to me. He didn't speak to me and say, Karen, are you paying attention? That's not what I'm talking about. God's word comforts me. It encourages me. It lifts my spirits when I'm feeling low. It corrects me. Yeah, we all need to be corrected. Corrects me regularly. You can rest assured in that. The Lord is constantly correcting me, and He's comforting me. God has challenged me. He's encouraged me. He's given me wisdom. And most of all, He has shown me Jesus. This is why I believe Joshua 1:8. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered me. This is why I believe. God's word really is a blueprint for a prosperous and successful life, not because it removes all our problems, but because it teaches us how to walk faithfully with the Lord through every hardship that comes our way. If you're struggling to make ends meet, struggling with the high cost of living, if you're struggling with exhaustion and overwhelmed feeling, you're worried, lonely, you're anxious, whatever it is that you're dealing with right now, I want to encourage you, don't just ask God to change your circumstances. Open up His word and ask Him to change you. The same word that led me to Jesus all those years ago is still leading people today, y'all. The answer for whatever we face in this life begins with the word of God. It doesn't eliminate every difficulty, but it changes the way we think, which changes the choices we make, and it changes the one we trust through it all. And over time, those little changes begin to reshape the direction of our lives. Amen? Will you bow your heads? Lord, I thank You for Your word. It truly is sharper than a double-edged sword. It cuts through everything, all the excuses. It cuts through the pettiness. It cuts through whatever we need it to cut through. The lies the enemy tells us on the regular, that we're not good enough, that we're too messed up, that we shouldn't even bother to come to You. Your word cuts through all of that, Father God, and brings out the truth of who You are. And You're a good God. You love us so much. Lord, we thank You that You know how many hairs we have on our head. You know our comings and our goings. You have a plan for our lives, Lord, and we thank You for that. And my prayer today, Lord, is that every single person in this room will understand that Your word is a gift to us. It's a love letter to us. It points us to Jesus, our Savior, the only one that can save us, Lord. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for Jesus. And God, I thank You for every life today. I thank You for every family represented in this building today, Lord. I pray that You speak to them, that You draw them into You, Lord, and that You bring them comfort and peace. We love You, God. And I pray these things in the name of Jesus. If you'll just stay in this moment, in this holy moment, the Lord is moving in this building right now. He's moving in this building. And I want to give you an opportunity. If you have never accepted Jesus as your Savior, if you've never asked Him to come into your heart and forgive you, if you've never done that and asked Him to be the Lord of your life, you have a chance right now. Right now, today is the day of salvation, and you have a chance. And maybe you've done it before and you got off path and you want to come back. Today's a perfect day to do that. All you have to do is pray a simple prayer. And it isn't even about the prayer. It's about the posture of your heart with the words of the prayer. So if that's you, all you gotta do is pray this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. I ask You to forgive me and wash me clean. I want You to be my Lord and Savior. I surrender every part of my life to You. In Jesus' name, amen.